This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Dressing up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
We are mere minutes removed from NXT Roadblock, and that means that we know, well, I'd say we know all of the card for NXT Stand and Deliver, but ended on a bit of controversy, which we will get to. But let's take a look ahead. NXT Stand and Deliver, tag titles on the line, Vanity Project defending them. It was against Los Americanos or Birthright. We had a feeling Birthright make a little bit more sense, but nope. Los Americanos wins today and will be heading to Stand and Deliver.
To be fair, I think technically the Los Americanos technically makes more sense because of alignments. But yeah, it is sad to see the Birthright lose here, but I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been the Colleen that won it, the whole thing. So I think I'm fine with Los Americanos winning. It'll be part of the whole overarching El Grande story on, so just another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they come out with the win. I feel like Vanity Project just picked them up. Makes a bit more sense for them to hold on to it. As you say, El Grande, Americano being involved in the match, hot prospect right now, and it does even them up 3-3 if Jackson Drake does decide to interfere for his team. So we'll see it. We'll see what happens. Now, we do know, though, what the Birthright are going to be doing. You know, they didn't win this, the number one contendership. They're instead going to be on the pre-show for Stand and Deliver in a 10-person mixed tag team match. All five members of the Birthright going up against Eli Knight, Shiloh Hill, Hank and Tank, and Ren Sinclair. We're just kind of shoving everybody we wanted on the card into the into a 10-person mixed tag match, huh?
Why not? I think it was fine. It's it's not like that.
I'm hoping that here it's going to be a bit of a chance to showcase Birthright. You know, given they didn't get the shot against the tag titles, so we put them on here. We got all five of them at once, you know, including Ariana Grace. So yeah, give them a bit of a showcase, and it's a pre-show, so just let them go wild.
Yeah, and this is where they can get a win and start building towards what they're doing with this group. Because yeah, it may kind of is, if you think about it, a little bit fast for them to go immediately into tag titles, but building them slower, I think, is a better option.
Yeah, I think you're right, because when they do challenge for the tag titles, I'm going to want them to win, right? To pick up the tag titles. And if the Vanity Project are still, you know, just starting themselves, you don't want to cut the legs out from underneath them. So maybe the Vanity Project pick up the win at Stand and Deliver, a couple pay-per-views down the line, Birthright can take them off them. We'll have to see. I'm still got all of my fingers and toes crossed for Birthright that they can have something for them in the coming months. NXT North American Championship, Miles Bourne coming in as champion, and we saw Johnny Gargano win the elimination match to win that number one contendership. He didn't do a whole lot, but hey, Candice LeRae making sure he got that last pinfall that he needed to secure the number one contendership.
Bit more comedy than anything, but I mean, NXT is where Johnny Gargano is at his best. And so he'll give our champion, Miles Bourne, a really good showcase at Stand and Deliver. There's no chance he actually wins the match, which is the good thing.
Yeah, I think they've been... The storyline's a little weird for this one, right? Because we've got Johnny Gargano's main roster storyline that he's in a bit of a funk and a bit of a rut and needs some inspiration to break him out of it. We saw this week, or today, on NXT, Johnny Gargano basically saying, hey, I was once pretty good. I was, you know, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Takeover, but can I pull that back out? If I win, then you know, I'm feeling good, and if I lose, I don't know where I go from here. But maybe a match down on NXT against Miles Bourne, even when Johnny loses, maybe that's enough to break him out of his rut, you know, give him a bit of a feeling of who he used to be. But I'll have to see how it all plays into his main roster storyline. But I'm with you. I think Miles Bourne keeping the title gives him... you know, a bit of a rub beating guy like Johnny, and yeah, continues him and his ascension up the card. On the women's side, still North American Championship, Tatum Paxley coming in as champion against Blake Munro. We saw Blake kidnap Tatum for a little while, steal her championship, walk around with it. They had a bit of a back and forth today, but it is going to be those two one-on-one. And I don't know really who's going to walk out with the championship.
Well, Tatum needs to hold the title for a little bit longer than a month. I mean, she held the NXT championship for, what, 3 weeks? And Blake doesn't need this title. She can chase after whoever wins the NXT championship off of JC Jane. But yeah, she doesn't need this title.
Yeah, I think it comes down to need versus what's going to happen, right? I would love to see Tatum continue her reign. As you say, I'd love it to be a little bit longer. But if you want to break glass and head back to default where they were, I don't even know, a couple months ago at this point, Blake Munro winning makes a bit of sense. But also this title has been, you know, chopped and changed a little bit, so... My heart says Tatum, my head says they could just throw it back on Blake. A lot of women's matches. We also got the only match not for a championship on the main card, Sol Ruka versus Zarya, a bit of a grudge match between the two of them. For me, it feels like, you know, Sol's been due up on the main roster, so maybe Zarya picks up a win?
You know, promos and stuff that's been going on NXT, it almost feels like they've set this match up for a double turn. Because fans do not like Sol Ruka and love Zarya for some reason in NXT. I don't understand it, but they are not on board with Sol Ruka.
Yeah, I think... If you look back at, you know, their tag team and everything that always happened, Sol Ruka, whenever she would have a match, Zarya would be there, be in her corner. But then whenever Zarya got an opportunity or had a big match, Sol Ruka was never there for her. And so just in terms of, you know, what I have seen on my television screen or on my computer monitor, more likely... feels like Zarya is kind of the face in all of this. She may have let her frustrations get to her, but ultimately I feel like Zarya was the better friend out of the friendship. And so if they do double turn, I wouldn't be too shocked. As you say, people are already cheering Zarya, so if that's the way it's gonna go, then just go all in on that. And I don't know, Sol Ruka's numbers, days still seem to be numbered to me, whether that's a post-WrestleMania call-up or whether there's still a few more feuds in it. I'm glad we're going to get this match and we didn't just yank her out of her NXT storylines and push her up. I will save the last women's match in the hope that I can refresh my feed and get some clarity around the ending of NXT just a couple of minutes ago, and instead we'll talk about the NXT Championship for the men. Joe Hendry walking in as champion, standing across from him, Ricky Saints and Ethan Page and Tony D'Angelo.
That match is going to be really good. It feels like it just should be a Joe Hendry retention, but as much as I say that, it also feels like it could be the launch of the Dawn era in NXT. I could easily see Tony D'Angelo winning, and they've been making him a much more serious character and giving him a much more serious theme.
Yeah, it's kind of those options for me. I think Ricky Saints has done his dash, had his turn. Ethan Page on the come up. It feels like for those two, the main storyline in this is whether their friendship will hold out throughout this match, which I don't believe it will. And so you could end up with a Saints Page feud rivalry coming out of this one. Hendry holding on to the title, it makes sense, you know, newer champion, but again, much similar to Sol Ruker, I don't really know who's going to be heading up to the main roster soon. Maybe Joe Hendry's due up there as well. This gave him a little bit of a run with the NXT Championship before taking him up. Maybe. And so I'm flip-flopping between Joe Hendry and Tony D'Angelo myself.
I will err on the side of caution, say that they still will believe in Joe Hendry, and thus he'll keep the title for a little longer. But honestly, nothing will surprise me. Not even a Ricky Saints or Ethan Page walking out with the title will surprise me.
That is fair. Well, I was stalling, trying to get my last bit of clarification, and we don't have it as of now. So NXT Women's Championship, we know JC Jane will defend it. On NXT 15 minutes ago, it was Kendall Gray versus Lola Vice for the number one contendership. The match ended where Kendall had Lola's shoulders down for a three count, but also tapped at the same time. Bit of controversy. One ref saw something, one ref saw the other thing. Shawn Michaels comes on out to seemingly clarify things, but we just faded to black. The episode ended, and we don't know exactly what decision the Heartbreak Kid has made. My gut feeling is going to be a triple threat, but it could be something else.
Yeah, I'm going on the belief that it'll be JC Jane versus Kendall Gray and Lola Vice.
Yeah.
Not an or, like it currently says on the Wikipedia page. And I think regardless, I think JC Jane loses the title there. It doesn't matter who our opponent is, or if it's both of them. She's not walking out with the title.
She has had it for quite a long time.
Yep. I mean, she didn't have it for, like I referenced earlier, like 3 weeks. It was not a long ring for Tatum. But yeah, it's. I think it's time not only to get the title on somebody else, and I think Lola, honestly, would probably be my pick of the three. But I think it's also time to maybe move her on up and see what she's got on the main roster. Don't have to bring the rest of Fatal Influence with her if you don't have to, but that is always an option. But I think it is time to see what JC can do on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, looking at the table of NXT Women's Champions, she held it for 150 days, her first reign, and she's now at about 120 for this reign, so combined 270. It feels, as you say, time to move on and commit to somebody else other than a small reign by Tatum Paxley. It's, you know, been Julia and Stephanie at the start of 2025 was kind of the last NXT Women's Champions. And so, yeah, I see them either committing to Lola Vice or Kendall Gray out of it. Which one? I honestly could see them committing to either. We know Kendall had to relinquish the Evolve Championship to come up to NXT. I think she's a little bit better in the chase, in my opinion, where Lola Vice is proven, you know, puts on banger matches, has her own match type. Everything's there, is over as Rover in a AAA. It makes a lot of sense to put it on Lola, maybe have Kendall chase her. I don't know. Maybe they'll just keep being even the whole way through. They'll double pin JC or something. I don't know. But I do agree that the least likely outcome is JC retaining, no matter what combination of this match ends up being announced between now and the weekend. Well, that is NXT Stand and Deliver. We're going to go into our entrance theme this week, and it is Danhausen's. Round up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Let's just jump straight into Raw and SmackDown. We know most of the WrestleMania path. There are still some pieces carving their way out as we get there. And I guess the first big carve out in the last week was Sami Zayn, is our brand new United States champion, taking it off of Carmelo Hayes thanks to Trick Williams and cementing his spot at WrestleMania in, at the moment, Sammy versus Trick for the title.
This is a little surprising, but I do think it is just a way to get all three on there, and it could easily be a way to get the title from Carmelo to Trick without directly having them face each other.
That's the match I want. Let's get there.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to get. I think we're going to get a full-on program over the period between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. We're going to probably get multiple matches, different match types, probably cultivating in a last chance match or something at SummerSlam. I think this is going to be a month-long feud and not just a passing thing. And I do think Sami Zayn is being used as the vehicle to transition into that feud with that, so that way they don't have to have it start at WrestleMania directly.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense, right? Carmelo doing open challenges, Sami Zayn and Trick Williams currently locked in their feud. It makes a whole lot of sense if that is our end goal, to use this as a way to get there. It's one of those things that I can sit here and say, it makes sense. It's not how I thought we were getting there a week ago. If you'd said, you know, a week ago, how do you think we're getting there? I'm not picking Sami Zayn wins the US Championship 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. Was not on my on my bingo card, but it does make sense. And then it wasn't the only championship to change weeks out from WrestleMania. We thought maybe they would But it was The Vision, Logan Paul and Austin Theory going up against the Usos in a street fight. Once again, I thought maybe the titles would change. It was not on my bingo card that a cursed iShow Speed would accidentally brass knucks LA Knight in the face, distracting the Usos, leading to a title change and iShow Speed being accidentally embraced with The Vision now.
I think it's a case where I'm fine with it because honestly, iShow Speed actually seems to be like, at least on picture and the videos and stuff, seems to be like really into it and stuff, leaning into it. The stuff he's done with Dan Halsen was hilarious. And that's not just because it involved Dan Halsen. And while I don't particularly care for his content, he is in the world of of online entertainment. He is a big deal. So, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think he's not one of my, like, hated crossovers. I do like the guy from a personality-wise. Similar to you, I don't watch his content. But for me, one of the sticking points was seeing some stream clips where he's still living like he's cursed. Like, the stream went wrong, and costumes were late, flights were delayed, and then having him show up on Raw again and basically begging Danhausen, please uncurse me, it sort of ties it together, like, multimedia in a way that's really cool. If we do end up heading to some sort of six-man tag match at WrestleMania with Speed being involved, I wouldn't be mad. If he's involved with Danhausen in some way between now and WrestleMania, I wouldn't be mad either. I just sort of, let's get a direction and start going that way. And yeah, I guess the start of that direction is the fact that we do have new tag champs. And the Usos have lost them and seemingly still pretty mad at LA Knight. They don't really have a lot of friends right now.
They even changed their iconic theme. And it, again, it's another thing that just seems like it's more of towards Jay completely changing, flipping characters ever since Roman returned. I still think that there's a pretty strong chance that he ends up, for better or worse, costing Roman Reigns the World Heavyweight Championship.
I could see it. And I'm going to try and use the Vision as my tying thread here, right? We know the Vision was four guys. Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, unfortunately out injured before WrestleMania. It looks like, based on how everything is booking, that they won't be ready to go. Logan Paul, Austin Theory, they've teamed up with iShow Speed. Now we're back to three. All right. Paul Heyman, heavily involved with Brock Lesnar still. You can argue Paul Heyman's cohort now at four. And then he's sort of dealt with his Seth Rollins problem. I don't know if he sent Gunther, he asked Gunther to do it, or Gunther just out of his own free will chose to attack Seth Rollins, but Paul Heyman got a little bit lucky this week, you know, picking up tag titles, picking up extra allies, and taking out his Seth problem.
Yeah. Which, again, I think is also going to be part of a bigger story with the whole Gunther versus Seth. What is one thing that potentially Paul Heyman could offer Gunther to get him on board with fighting Seth Rollins? Because Gunther had no reason to, right? Other than the fact that both their opponents are injured.
Yeah, in storyline, he doesn't have much of a reason.
But there is something that Paul Heyman could offer that would be enticing to the type of character that Gunther is right now. And that's at SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar's career on the line.
Yeah. I'm just double checking rapidly. Yeah, SummerSlam 2026 in Minnesota. It definitely doesn't seem out of the realms of possibility. I think I've seen people fantasy booking Gunther Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam this year already, but I hadn't thought of the wrinkle that you just mentioned there, where maybe Paul Heyman offers it to him as a thank you for dealing with my Seth Rollins problem. That is an interesting way to take the story, because, you know, there was rumors floating around it was going to be Gunther Rey, which I think is the wrong idea. I do think Dominic should be involved in that. Gunther Seth is obviously not going to be for Seth's career. I think Gunther's got to find himself something that's not always career ending. You know, Randy Orton wasn't always facing legends when he was the Legend Killer. It was just when there was a legend around, you know, he's there to do something. And I think they've got to try and morph that with Gunther here. He may be the career killer, but there's not always a career to be killed. And in between those moments, he's got to pick some more battles and do some more stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely an interesting thought from you. We only have a few minutes left to go before we're out of time. I'm just going to throw in, we did get a couple of the matches that we thought we were going to get, the women's tag titles in a fatal four-way between the teams that we expected to show up. And I think there was a couple more formally made that we were expecting. Roxanne Perez returns to help Liv Morgan, might be the equalizer, or the opposite of an equalizer, the problem that may be involved in the finish as well. And then Penta's got his title in a ladder match at WrestleMania. Do love a good multi-man mid-card title ladder match. Cannot complain.
Yeah, and with the ladder match, it's Penta, Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD Madonna, and Rusev. Four of those people can really fly. And then Rusev's the classic strong person that's probably going to get buried under a bunch of ladders at some point.
No, we will see a Rusev splash off a ladder. Calling it now.
And then get buried by in ladders.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, I think we're going to see... I think we're going to see a... OG Cutter that's off the ladders. I think we're going to just have an absolute blast, and I have no idea who's going to win that match. But I think Penta will retain, but it's going to just be a blast. Absolute blast.
Definitely. Well, that is all we have time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Baby.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we will see you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.